Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Health Wealth Podcast. We've got another great episode this week for you. We've got another brilliant health story we're going to be sharing. So this week, I'm joined by Connor Houston, who's going to be running us through a pretty amazing health story that he's had and the things he's done to address that. So Connor, first off, thank you for coming and welcome to the show.
Hi, Ryan. Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I've been watching your podcast and seeing what you've been doing for a while. I think it's great. And I'm just happy to have a wee chat with you here, mate.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the support. And we connected on X, and I followed your story on there for a while, which has been a great story, and I've been watching that. So I thought it'd be brilliant to share on the show. So yeah. Let's start at the beginning. Take us back to where your health story started. I know you got diagnosed quite young with your condition. So just kind of run us through that.
Yeah, of course, mate. So I started having some issues when I was in primary six. So 11-year-old in Scotland, we call primary six. Started with some severe stomach pain, really low stools, and losing blood, which was alarming. And it caused a lot of worry for my family. I actually went through about a year of testing. In Scotland, like you'll find in England, the NHS is pretty slow for things to get investigated. And I was first initially diagnosed with IBS. That was quickly further investigated, and I was at York Hill Children's Hospital when I was finally diagnosed at 12 with Crohn's disease. From that point, I'd basically been put on a journey where I'd be reliant on immunosuppressants, infusions, and drugs that were quite hard on the body, with some quite severe side effects. And it was really from that age, whilst I was struggling with health problems, that I kind of became a wee bit more health conscious, really through no choice. I couldn't eat certain foods. I knew how certain things would affect me. But it's quite a journey. Being diagnosed that young with something that it makes social things quite difficult. If you're out with friends and you're in a bit of a flare-up and you're going to the toilet 15, 16 times a day, you know, it makes things like that at that age, a tender age where social insecurities are already rampant, it makes it more difficult. So yeah, I had a bit of a torrid time through my teenage years. I would say that I missed a lot of school early on when I was first diagnosed, but you know, compared to how I'm feeling just now, which obviously we'll go on about in further detail, it's night and day. I feel like I've got my life back. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely, we'll get to the things you did that actually worked to change that. I imagine as well, I mean, obviously you said at 12 years old, you know, that's a lot to take, being diagnosed with that, and you said socially. And I imagine, you know, at that age, to be having to take all that medication, I imagine is not easy as well. How many different meds were you on at that point?
Yeah, so the problem with medication, I'm sure anybody who's took a few medications will know, you go on a couple of meds, like for example, immunosuppressants for Crohn's, but because it can be quite harsh on the stomach, you then need to take things like omeprazole, because it can affect the stomach lining. And at one point I was on about 6-7 meds in the morning with some anti-inflammatories throughout the day. And a lot of the time I was finding that as the months went on, I'd have more medications to take because I was having side effects. I was having a lot of skin issues that can be related to the Crohn's and side effects of the drugs. And that was another thing that was difficult. At school, if you're getting out of class quite a lot, people become aware of it. And they see it, but also if you're starting to get a lot of things on your skin, it's problematic, you know. And it's something I can be quite self-conscious about even now. So for example, I'm aware that I've got this here, which is actually one of the dogs we're playing. They get a wee bit rowdy and they manage to scratch me. But from a young age, because I would have a lot of kind of sores in my face, ulcers and stuff, it caused some issues. I think I was fortunate that at 12, at that age, you're maybe not fully aware at, you know, how kind of poorly certain medications will make you feel whilst they're trying to help you. I had no idea that when I was taking steroids, for example, that my face would grow in size with swelling and I'd be filled with water. But you're desperate, like anybody in that situation, when you feel so poorly, you know, you want to make sure that you can do anything to make yourself feel better. So, yeah, I had a bit of a social effect, and I think that's the thing that most people who struggle with IBD or even IBS, as I'd imagine, that maybe gets forgotten. You know, there's nothing people fear more than the potential of having an accident. And as you get older, it becomes even less socially acceptable. So that was something that I think anybody who's got Crohn's, IBD, or even severe IBS can relate to, that fear. And that's something that kind of started young and I carried on.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot for such a young age when you're so sensitive, as you say. Then you have the things in your skin and you're just heading into the teenage years and when people start to become more body conscious and stuff. So that's definitely a lot to deal with at that age. How did things kind of progress in terms of, you know, on the medical side? Were the drugs helping you? Was the medication helping? Did it seem like the doctors were kind of making progress? Did it seem like they knew what they were doing? Or were you just steadily getting worse or staying the same?
So initially, I certainly got some initial relief when I was first put on steroids. And it was the first thing that I remember specifically that I started to not have as many bloody stools and stuff, because that was a worry. You know, at that time, I knew it shouldn't be happening. And everybody was aware of it at the time, and it was something that we discussed. So the steroids certainly was the first time I started to feel normal in that regard. But the problem is, the longer, and you can't go on a lot of these medications long term, because they can make you feel so poorly. You know, that was difficult, and you really started to feel like when a flare up was coming up, and you would know that in the coming days when it was about to happen. You'd be worried first because you know you've got to feel poorly, but also if you were maybe in a period where you weren't taking as much medication, you know then that it's going to be increased, which is going to come with the side effects. It's going to make you feel poorly as well, and you can't do a lot of the things that you would normally do. So it was difficult, but really from the ages of kind of 12 to 14, I was in a bit of a cycle where we'll try to find out what was the best kind of medication. Had a lot more investigative tests. I had a few colonoscopies. It was actually through colonoscopies and an MRI that was diagnosed. Because I was quite young and I was going to York Hill, they wanted to keep an eye on it. I'd lost quite a bit of weight because I wasn't able to kind of keep any food down, really. It was becoming difficult. So I went through kind of 2 years of missing a lot of school and getting a lot of investigative tests. I was actually kept at York Hill longer than I should have been, because usually at a certain age, because it's a children's hospital, they move you to adult. But because I was with the gastro team, and it was quite a big investigation, I stayed a wee bit longer than I should have. I was the oldest one there for a wee bit. But I'm thankful. I do think that the gastro doctors, especially at York Hill, they did the best at what they had there. But from my experience, even as a 28-year-old who still gets phone calls from IBD nurses and still is with that team, I have never had an in-depth discussion about nutrition unless I've been the one who's brought it up. And it's just something that is never happened. At a young age, when I was having these stomach issues, the only thing they did initially was to test me for celiac disease, which I don't have, because it's just, I think that's just a common thing they would do. That was as far as the dietary questions came for me, and that was, we're talking about a long time for an investigation, for a recurring medication, stopping me on certain medications because they weren't working. To change me to things that were stronger, infusions. Nutrition wasn't something that was discussed at all. And that was something that, in the UK, I'm sure you can agree with, most people aren't nutrition literate. People just go to the shops, they buy what they want, mate, you know. And that was what my family was like. We didn't have the best diet growing up, just a standard, you know, British diet. It would eat some meat, but it was with some bread, it was with some chips, it was what it was. And that never changed through my investigations for Crohn's, because you really, it's emphasised to you that this is an autoimmune condition. There's very little you can do other than take our medication. And that's what it felt like. So any kind of self-help at that stage was really out the window. It wasn't really suggested or promoted for us, which I felt was a shame, because I think if I was to have the knowledge that I have now, at that age of 13, you would really try to make some dietary and lifestyle changes first, before you start a journey, which is a cocktail of drugs for quite a bit that has an effect on the body, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's long-term effect. That was actually going to be my next question, was about, was nutrition, was diet ever discussed? Because it's crazy to me. I mean, I hear of people quite regularly, and I've had clients that have told me that their doctors told them that their Crohn's has absolutely nothing to do with diet. And it's just from a common sense perspective, I just find it crazy. But obviously, you know, you've experienced the same. Now, did you ever bring it up to them and get shut down with it? Or was it just it was never mentioned?
Well, so yeah, a couple of times actually. And it shows us there's not much of a bias in regarding the diet, because when I first went vegan, I brought it up that, listen, I'm trying this to see what I can do. And my gastroenterologist right there and then says, I don't think it's going to have much of an effect. And the same gastro doctor, he's seen that didn't have an effect. He was like, mate, you're getting worse after a while. But he also is still reluctant to say that what I'm doing just now is anything to do with the remission that I'm in. He's just saying that things could just be in place. I'm just enjoying a good period of remission, which I find remarkable, because it's the only period I've had like this since I've been diagnosed. But yep, he is not on board with either. So no, you know, when it comes to nutrition, it amazes me how little interest they seem to have with it, mate. I'll be honest, it's now that I can look at it and see the changes it's made to me, it's almost criminal at this stage.
I agree, it is. And it's one of those things where I think people put their kind of misplaced trust in the health system and doctors, and not having a go at doctors personally. Doctors do the job they're paid to, but the health system is a business. And for some reason in our minds, we have this idea that actually its sole purpose is just to make us as healthy as possible. And it's not. It's about making money. Yeah. And doctors are just trained to prescribe drugs. They're not trained to do anything else. So the doctor's just doing their job, prescribing drugs. That's the message we try and get to people. Like, don't be trusting your doctor. They're just trained to prescribe drugs. They don't understand nutrition. They don't understand diet. And as you said, they're unwilling to accept, even when you're a, you know, living proof and example right in front of them. So that's why we're trying to encourage people you've got to take back control of your own health, which obviously is what you did. So talk us through, obviously you said there that first, was vegan your first step, or did you do a few things and then go to vegan? Talk us through how you got started with diet and nutrition.
Yeah, so the first step actually that I done, and it's probably, it'll show you the kind of the journey that I went on. I was concerned because there was a lot of kind of lesions and stuff every time they did a colonoscopy. I have, and I still do, I have quite a lot of worry about like colon cancers and things of that nature. And at that time, we're talking maybe about 2014, 15, just after I'd left school, I cut red meat out completely. Because the science says red meat's got to get you colon cancer. And I'm like, well, I've already got some issues down there. I'm not going to touch it. So I actually went on a diet that was with chicken. Still had bread, pastas and stuff. It wasn't vegan. Still had various forms of animal produce, but no red meat at all. And that was the kind of the first step. I did that for about 3 years. Then round about the end of 2016, 2017, if you remember, that's when the kind of the vegan propaganda was almost at its strongest. You know, you've got Game Changers and all of this that was going out. And I really get caught up in that. And I'd seen some stories of people who, some of them were probably on terrible diets, that had what they deemed a success, going plant-based on their Crohn's disease. And I thought, this could be it. This could be the you know, it could be the answer. And you hear all this stuff where they have the graphs and it's the pictures of all the teeth. And you go, that's a compelling argument. We are, you know, we're herbivores. And I fell for it all. Like, I mean, fell for it bad. And that's actually, and I'll touch on like my reluctancy with the carnivore stuff, because I'd realised I'd been wrong with the veganism. I'd been stung before. So there was a couple of months where I was like, but I'll get to that. But with the veganism, I kind of went fully deep in at the start of 2017. Actually, the end of 2016, start of 2017, I was like, I'm doing this. And for me, I'm very much black and white. It's like, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it. I'm not cheating. I'm not going to have milk in the weekends or anything like that. That's very much the way I am. So we went into it deep. You know, we were getting... And initially at the start, it was just eating what was deemed vegan. So I was eating like soya burgers and what would be just junk food vegan, but you're told because it's vegan, it's healthier. So we're having Linda McCartney sausages and corn mince. And actually, the veganism at the start, it wasn't too hard, because there's a lot of kind of processed foods that makes that easier to eat if you eat a processed diet beforehand, which I did, really. And remember, Oreos are vegan. So these are the things. So I did that for 2 years, and I was like a poor vegan in regards to that. I ate bad food, but I was strict. I didn't eat any animal produce through that period. But my stomach was getting considerably worse. And it's no surprise I was eating predominantly now processed foods, because you can't really go in places and get vegan food that would be as healthy as maybe getting some chicken breast in a shop. And I was relying on mock meat products for these 2 years, because I still had been brought up eating chicken breast and real mince. But obviously you try to find comparisons to dinners that you were used to. At that time, there was a lot of kind of fat malabsorption that I was struggling with. It was really quite bad. I was getting a lot of pain in my gallbladder area. They were concerned. And I just wasn't doing well. My Crohn's was really bad. My skin was horrendous. I was losing a lot of blood. And then I came across the whole food plant-based movement, and I thought, well, this makes sense. I've not been doing veganism right. You need to eat whole food plant-based. And we went deep for 2 years. We've got whole food plant-based cooking books from like the Happy Pear YouTube channel. I was getting one-to-one consultations with Caldwell Esselstyn's daughter, Jane, who is a whole food plant-based, basically her full life. She's got quite a large following on social media. And actually, if you look at some of the emails that I've sent after we had our consultation, it was like, I can't eat chickpeas. I'm really struggling to get my protein in. I'm having severe fat malabsorption. So to kind of summarise the whole food plant-based period, that was 2 years of me trying to not eat any forms of fat, really. The whole food plant-based diet is quite particular in what they eat. So I was not having any seed oils through that period either. They're anti-seed oil. I was having sugar in whole food, fruit, like dates and stuff like that. I was only eating whole grains, so brown rice, buckwheat, all of this stuff. The problem with whole grains is, with someone with Crohn's disease, it's a million times worse than processed grains. So I was just becoming ill. I was losing a lot of muscle mass. I was not that big at the time at all, but I was becoming heavily sarcopenic. I was wasting away. My hairline was becoming ridiculously bad. It was thinning. And I was having consistent ups in my medication, and hit a bit of a wall, after 2 years, where they were talking about putting me on a pea protein shake diet. So I was going to go to a liquid-only diet. I wasn't absorbing anything. If I was eating some brown rice, the way that my body was working is you would see fully formed brown rice in my stool with blood. And that was the common thing. Stuff was just going through me. I went from about 15 times going to the toilet a day to close to 30. And out of work for a year of the 2 years, I just physically could not work. And every time I was trying to change it, I was only buying organic. As I said, we changed all our natural cleaning stuff. We had done everything that we could within this diet. And I went to see my gastroenterologist. I was down just about 9 stone. They were really concerned. My inflammation markers were very high, to the point where when they went to also do the colonoscopy, I had so much damage in that area. They'd questioned just getting into the anal area. There was just so much damage. My body was failing in every way, shape, mm-hmm. or form. And then they said, we're going to put you on an 8 to 16 week pea protein diet. We think the best option would be for me to have a bag. So yeah, we're talking a large portion of my bowels being removed. And whether or not that would have helped me staying on a vegan diet, I'm very sceptical. But that gave me a fright, a massive, massive fright. It was something that actually during the 2 years, I had basically been close to requesting, because my life was so poor. But being told that, listen, we need to put you on a liquid diet, and we then need to do this. And I felt like I was dying. Like, I need to be honest, I felt like I was dying. It terrified me. And it made me question everything I believed in regards to the veganism. I was convinced, Ryan, that we were herbivores. These people who were eating meat were causing all these issues. I was 100% a dogmatic vegan for those 5 years. And seeing that my health was not only suffering, but getting worse in every healthy whole food alternative that I tried seemingly made it worse, was absolutely terrifying, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you're doing everything you can, and you think you're doing everything right, and it's getting worse, and you're thinking, what else is there? You know, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? What was it? Because, you know, there's actually a lot of people who've gone from vegan to carnivore. It's quite funny. There's quite a lot of people that have gone. Yeah. But that's quite a jump, isn't it? That's quite a journey. So what was it that got you started on that? And was it, did it happen over a period of time, that transition? Because it's, like I say, they're quite opposite ends of the spectrum.
Totally. My introduction to the carnivore diet was, I think, like a lot of people, through social media, YouTube. It was actually Jordan Peterson's daughter that kept on coming up with the Lion diet, and then Sean Baker went on Joe Rogan's podcast. And at the time, I remember watching the Joe Rogan, Sean Baker podcast going, that man's absolutely mad. He is nuts. You know, that all that meat rotting in his colon, that's what I thought, you know. It was unbelievable. But what intrigued me was hearing about how Jordan Peterson, he was having so much, it was remarkable the results he was having for his depression, and then more so for his daughter with an autoimmune condition, how she, who had the worst case of what, juvenile arthritis, I think they say, and that doctor's ever seen, that she's able to not only kind of come off medication, but to look very healthy and thriving with an all-meat diet. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, it's working for her. That must be nice. But there's no way she's going to survive long. She's got to be unhealthy. But it planted a seed. And I'd already been through the process before I was told about the liquid diet, that I was reducing certain foods because I was like, I really can't stomach, you know, chickpeas at all. Any nuts, because I was trying to eat nuts for fat. It was terrible, you know. So I'd started to like remove so many plant foods anyway, that I was like having such a restricted diet where I was basically living on certain types of these fruit roll-up things. It was whole food. It was just fruit juice. It's been dehydrated leather things that we made. Tahini as a fat source and some potato. I was struggling. So I'd already, you know, chopped out so much. Honestly, I was at rock bottom when I was told about the liquid pea protein diet and stuff. And, me and my wife, we actually had a wee bit of a row. I was being a bit... it was the end of the world to me, you know, and she was like, we need to keep on trying. I wanted to give up with everything. I was like, I'm going to have a bag for life. Can I go swimming? Can I do the things I want to do? It's going to be here. It's been embarrassing from the age of 12 being known as this guy who needs to go to the toilet a lot, sitting in doing exams in a room myself because I'd disturb everybody if I had to go to the toilet and stuff, you know. So that's like, you know, you become conscious of an opinion people have of you because of this. And then to have it magnified, to have a bag, you know, for life, it was, my head was struggling, you know, mate. And so I was like, I'm done. I can't do this. And she was like, why don't you just try this? I know it's against everything, you know, we believe in, but right now we've got two options. We try something different and this is it, because veganism, all these plant foods, it's not working. Or we could do in this route and we can't change it once we do it. And it wasn't that night that I had an epiphany. We had a wee bit of a back and forth, and it was the next morning that before I sat down to struggle to eat the stuff that I was eating, and I wasn't well. And I had quite a bad morning that morning. I was feeling unwell. I was like, I need to try this. And the first thing I'd done, and I was worried sick, because I'd not eaten red meat for 3 years before I basically went vegan. So we're talking, it's close to... it's over 8 years before I'd, you know, I'd ate red meat. I was terrified. I was like, oh my goodness. And she's like, we'll try something easy. We'll get a sirloin steak and we'll half it and I'll cut it into slices. And it was, and I was terrified. You know, I'll be honest, mate. It was when you don't, you really, really, really have such worry. And it was like a child trying to eat broccoli for the first time in a Brussels sprout. And I just remember thinking, because again, when you're vegan, you see all this propaganda. When you walk past the meat aisle, it smells like death. It's like this, it's like that. And I'm just thinking, this has got to taste terrible. And within the first kind of, the first two chews, because it was a texture difference, I thought, I don't like this. You know, I'll be honest. I thought, this is weird. But I kept on chewing and chewing. And also, almost after the fourth or fifth chew, I didn't want to show my wife just how much. I was like, well, this is good. You know, I was trying to kind of, no sell it a wee bit, but you know, we finished half a steak each. We still were eating our plant food. We're still what you'd say is whole food at that time, a bit of steak. And after kind of 4 or 5 days of trying to eat a wee bit of red meat, also eating some white and a wee bit of eggs, I was finding that I was having the meat itself, I wasn't eating it with veg, my stomach wasn't sore after it. I was worried about having them all together because, you know, you don't know what's causing the issues, and I don't want to blame anything. And I was noticing when I was eating the meat, especially the red meat, I wasn't having any stomach cramps. I wasn't having to go to the toilet 5-10 minutes after it, which was common. And actually I started to find that, you know, I had quite a lot, I had an increase in energy. And when you've been kind of wasting away, not eating much, when you have a couple of days of consistently eating more protein, and I wasn't eating any protein, mate. As a whole food plant-based vegan, I wasn't having any mock meat. I couldn't stomach chickpeas or any legumes and nuts I couldn't have. So I had no protein, you know. I generally started to feel like my brain was working a wee bit better, a wee bit more motivated. And it was remarkable, an energy difference. But I was sceptical. I was sceptical of kind of going and identifying, going carnivore or anything like that, because I was so deflated with my experiences with veganism. And anybody that knew me, I was 5-year vegan, 2-year whole food plant-based. That's how they know you, because vegans are this kind of, you feel like you need to tell people, that's what it is. And I understand it, because you feel like you're doing such a good thing, mate. You know, you're like, I'm saving the planet and I'm making a difference. And I think they're probably coming from a good place when they tell people. But, you know, I fell into the same trap, I'll be honest. So everybody knew me as that. And see, to kind of, I was so worried to go, I think I was being wrong. And maybe these guys in the carnivore, aren't they nuts? I'd made fun of a few carnivore posts on my own social media before, I'll be honest, you know? So that was difficult. But as the kind of days went on, and I was noting such a noticeable difference, I was like, I need to try this, but I was kind of got to keep it quiet at the start. I didn't want to announce to anybody I was doing anything in case it failed dramatically initially. But when I went carnivore and I made the switch, the first thing that I noticed, other than like the stomach cramps after eating, because I still had loose stools initially, because I still had a surplus of these whole food plant-based recipes my wife had been making, and stuff had been quite bad. I was in an active flare-up. But the first thing that I noticed was that my mouth ulcers had went away. And at one point, I would probably have about 5 or 6 mouth ulcers in various locations inside my mouth, and also have skin issues here. And that was almost an ever-present, especially through the kind of last 2 years prior to going carnivore. For whatever reason, it could be the plants I was eating, could have been just the Crohn's, I don't know. And I noticed that they started to go away. And quite quickly, after 3 weeks, I would say I had none left. Definitely after a month, I had none left, but within that period, in my mouth. And it's an amazing thing to be able to eat and not have pain in your mouth, and you really take that for granted, you know. And I started to feel good. And it was about after a month of eating higher red meat, very, very low plant-based. I was eating a wee bit of fruit still at the time, so I was still skeptical about the whole no sugar thing. I was very sceptical. I was like, this makes no sense, you know. So I wouldn't say I was more animal-based, but it was making a remarkable difference. But I was still having, you know, slightly loose stools after a month, but it was noticeably different. And at that point then, I was like, I've got to try this. I need to really try this. And from the second month, I was strict carnivore, right through to I started experimenting, which we can talk about because they failed. But it was so, it was amazing. After the second month, I'd actually kind of, we still kept it quiet to people that we knew around us, because a lot of people we knew around us and a lot of your friends and stuff, you can meet through veganism and stuff as well. As daft as it sounds, it's just what it is. It really does become like a community thing. And the whole food plant-based did as well. We're looking for recipes. There was other people that we knew who had like gastro issues who were using that, seemingly having more success than me, it seemed. So that was awkward. You don't know what to tell people. Oh, by the way, I've not only went and stopped being vegan, I'm now everything that you hate. You know, it's one of the hardest things to kind of compare. So, but after the second month, at that point, after 8 weeks of me going, I've just had 3 weeks now, my stomach feeling normal to the point where I'm ready to go back to work. And I used public transport for the first time in maybe 4 or 5 years myself. And that wasn't an option. I had to be in a car at all times. And even just have the power for me to nip down to work myself if the wives get the car. Like, you don't realise how liberating that was. So I get back into work. You know, I was off in the sick, was able to start from work and use public transport after 2 months on carnivore. And at that point then, I was like, right, there's something to this. This is quite remarkable. I still had my concerns, though. One of the things that I was really concerned about was still the colon cancer stuff. And it was in between the first kind of eight, you know, the 8 weeks that I was using it, that I was trying to kind of look at all the answers that people have online. Like Ken Berry does a lot of stuff, like talking about how it's epidemiology and what it actually means. Sean Baker, Carnivore MD. So I really kind of tried to get as much of that information to understand that this is epidemiology. But that was hard. Trying to retrain your brain, an anxiety response like red meat causes cancer and the anxiety that I had around that, and trying to relearn all of this kind of misinformation effectively that's out there was difficult, you know. But after the initial 8 weeks in breaking through that barrier, I knew that this is something different, Ryan. It's a special being able to do this with Crohn's for me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. You bring up a great point that it is that we have to retrain our brain. We have to forget, you know, I came to it not through a traumatic health experience like you, but I just wanted to improve my health. And I had to just accept, okay, everything I know is out and I've got to start over. And I think one of the benefits of, you know, it's hard to look at benefits in certain things like this, but one of the benefits of hitting that rock bottom is that you're open to try anything, aren't you? Yeah. And I think most people, if they're still struggling by, they're not so willing to try things because they're like, well, you know, I can just carry on with this and it's not so bad. But when you've literally hit rock bottom, you'll try it. And one of the things I love about carnivore is that you get results so quick. You know, you like you said, within 2 months, you've had enough reinforcement that you're like, you know what, this is working. Yeah. Then you start looking into the data and the science and finding out, okay, the stuff I thought before was wrong, and you build in confidence on it, don't you? And so that's one of the things I love, is that if you give it a try, you get the results so quick that it kind of backs up that you're doing the right thing, especially if you compare it to when you went whole food and plant-based vegan. Obviously, you know, the results seem to be gradually worse over time with that. Definitely not a difference in the 2 months that you had with the carnivore. No. So, I mean, I know you touched on, I was also going to ask, did you get, you had people around you in your community who were vegan and were plant-based. Did you get pushback when you did sort of say to people about it? Did some people kind of fall out with you about it?
Oh, definitely get pushback. I think I was surprisingly actually, some of the worst pushback I got was from people that weren't even vegan. They, you know, absolutely, you know, and still to this day, you have family members that, although they can see, you know, the difference, they're still massive skeptics. But I remember kind of the speaking to vegan friends initially, friends that are kind of closer to you, who understand your health issues and seeing you struggle and stuff. You notice somebody's character when they just want you to be well. So I had that anonymous pushback for people online was worse. And actually, I remember when I made my first post, because again, I was so thrilled with that, with the difference, you know, and I was like, this is amazing. So I made my first post. Some of the comments were unbelievable, you know. And I get it, these people are passionate and stuff, you know. But I think it's just, it's hard for vegans to see people who are doing the polar opposite to them, and thriving in ways that the vegan diet for so many people hasn't been able to offer. It's hard, and it's, for me, I felt anger when I was vegan, seeing people who are eating, you know, animal-based products, always seemingly in better health, and it was confusing for me. Like, I would compare my health when I was vegan, just generally, even when I wasn't in a flare-up, to friends, peers who didn't have any nutritional care in the world. They would eat whatever they wanted. And I was like, why am I getting, you know, worse results all the time? So you become a wee bit resentful at other people getting results when you're trying to be health conscious. So I understand that. But I think for the overall, you know, I think most people, because it was between getting surgery for the rest of my life and doing this, I was fortunate with that. And really, my wife's family have been, they've been in awe with, like, the results of both years, because my wife went carnivore on the second month that I did. She was a month behind, and they've been supportive. And my family just think it's crazy. They love it. They think you're healthy. It's still, my dad, he still struggles to get his mind around the idea that not eating vegetables is healthy. But he struggles, but, you know, it's good. I like it. I like the conversation. You know, I find when I'm in work and I pull out my lunchbox and it's 4 burger patties with a little bit of cheese, people are like, is that all you're eating? You know, but I love the conversation. And people who have known me longer term and they see the difference, that's the people that you get the most engaging conversation with. And my wife, people in her work as well, which is really good. There's a few girls in her work now that are going low carb, a bit nervous about the carnivore, but they're making the step just from chats. So it's good. You almost evangelize the diet, yeah. You know, it's terrible. But it's great. And I love having the discussion. I love people kind of saying, just asking questions, because if I had the opportunity prior to veganism and being exposed to the carnivore diet and had the chance to speak to someone, I maybe would have stopped a kind of 5-year period of my life that made my condition go worse. So I do like to be vocal about it to that degree, not to judge what other people eat. If they ask me, I'll speak about it. I try not to kind of be overbearing, because it's a bit of a put off in the staff room, let's be honest.
yeah absolutely, we don't want to be over the top, we don't want to be like vegans, but I mean, yeah. I know what you mean. It's, you feel like you've got you've discovered the secret to life that you need to share, you know. And the great thing about you, like you said, when you're talking to people, you know, is that they know what your health was like before, and now they see what it's like now, and you can't argue with that. You know, I could pull up a study and argue with someone about a study, and they could argue this and I could argue that. They could have a study backs their view, I can have a study backs my view. But no one can argue with the change in your health, because that's there in front of them as a solid fact. So, you know, I love that part about it. That's why I love sharing the stories on the podcast as well, because there's going to be people out there in the same situation that you were. Yeah. And if I just went and talked to them, they'd say, that's not going to work. But we've got you. You know, Connor was in the same position as you were. Look at him now. He's been through it. It really works. So I think they're more likely to be open-minded then. And like you said, if people are open to talk, it's great to have those discussions and to educate people, because we've all been brainwashed, you know, from birth. It's been going on for the last 70, 80 years. So it's well ingrained in society. So, I think that's brilliant. The conversations are brilliant. And if people are open to it, you know, brilliant to get it out there. And especially when you're the living proof, you and your partner as well. So talk us through, you know, 2 months into carnivore, everything's going amazing. You know, you're making great progress. Talk us through where you went from there and what continued to improve.
Yeah, so, a big focus for me going carnivore was really just eating as much beef as I could, because I found beef was so well digested by myself. And I felt when I started eating it, after a couple of weeks of consistently eating it, I was like, oh my goodness, why did I believe that this was bad for me, you know? You felt robbed, you're like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So a big focus in beef. So I'd actually started after the kind of first two and a half, three months. I felt well enough to start doing more training. I'd always did stuff in the house, but because my stomach was quite bad, I was restricted to some calisthenics in the house and some DDPY yoga. But I had the ability to go swimming again, and I started doing exercise. Me and my wife would go out running. I'd start lifting weights and being in the gym. I had the energy, and that was the most amazing thing. I had this surplus of energy, not just to go about my life and do the bare minimum. I didn't want to sit down. I just felt like I had this elixir of, you know, youth, and I just wanted to do as much as we could. So we really put a big focus on eating as clean as we could. Again, as I said, very black and white. When I went carnivore, I was carnivore. And after the second month, I wasn't eating fruit. I was like, this is great. I was having some electrolyte supplementation just so I could get kind of used to it at the start. And I was thriving. We got through the summer, and it was the first summer in my life that I can remember going the full duration of the summer without a flare-up after the diagnosis. You know, and we were just thinking at the start, thinking, this is great, but you're waiting for the flare-up. You know, I didn't think I'd be over a year without anything, you know. But we're also living in the moment and enjoying it, and I was enjoying going to the gym. Like, when the flare-up comes, I know it's going to last a wee bit, and then I can maybe feel like this again. That's what I kept on saying, because this is great. If this is what my normal is in between, I am happy. But weirdly enough, I'm still waiting for the flare-up. You know, it's just not happened. But we, you know, it's been amazing being able to kind of do the exercise and stuff again, going to start judo, being able to go walks with the dogs. And this is something that's a bit embarrassing, but see, prior to carnivore being vegan, when we would go hikes with the dogs, and we still would, it was one of the places that I felt okay to be out, because usually we're in a remote place, you can do the toilet, you know, outside. But I would always have a bag with a change of clothes, underwear, socks, everything wipes. I would never leave. It was always with me because I was worried so badly because how bad my stomach was for that. And the ability now for me to never have to take anything like that with me. I have no concerns when I go out. My wife would be able to kind of tell you, before we would go out, I would be in the toilet for maybe 45 to an hour prior, and we would have everything in the car. We had wipes, we had change of clothes for the car that was always there. We had to have a backpack for me to take for us to go there. And when we were planning road trips, my wife would have to plan where the service station were. So we knew at every stretch if we could stop for the toilet. And for me, during the carnivore for that summer and going into the autumn, for us to no longer take a bag with us to be able to go long hikes for 10, 15 miles, and you never have to go to the toilet. You never need to worry. You never need to have an embarrassing change. It was fantastic. And what I noticed as well, Ryan, because I was so worried, my health was so bad, I had so much health anxiety. Because I was unwell for so long, I was thinking I was deteriorating, I was dying. When I went to this way of eating, the amount of anxiety that I have has went from, I would say, very high to zero, unless something is actively making me anxious, like, you know, one of the dogs is hurt their paw out in a walk. You know, I don't feel anxiety, and I had chronic anxiety. I was on medication for anxiety during being on a vegan diet. I'm not saying it was a vegan diet itself. I'm just saying that the carnivore diet has reduced my anxiety, whereas beforehand it was really hard for me to kind of go about day to day without worrying, having catastrophic thinking about my health or the people around me's health. So that was a big thing. And just getting confident again, being able to be outside, not having to worry that am I going to be next to a toilet, being able to travel again myself. You know, as a 28-year-old, it's crazy to think me going down and travelling myself, that my wife being there, if she's got the car, is a big deal. But see, when you've not been able to do that, you know, for that long, and I wasn't able to when I was unwell go and do driving lessons. So I was actually robbed of quite a bit of time because my stomach was so bad. The prospect of being with a stranger for an hour in a car was the worst possible thing. So this is, since carnivore, I'm now very, very close. I'm not the best driver, but I've been doing driving lessons and going so well and having the confidence to do that and do all these things that I've not been able to do. Had promotions in work, no longer having to work from home, which is something I had to do. Even though it was that poorly, I had to go in the sick from my working from home job. Being on the carnivore diet has allowed me to now start working in the public, doing something I love. So it's been amazing, but I think the most important thing for me during that was to be strict. I was very strict, you know. The first year was beef, so water, some egg, and very occasionally some chicken and pork, and that was it. That was how we thrived and felt good. Added some milk a couple of times. Didn't really kind of do much for me. I think it just made me want to drink more milk. You know, it was I just couldn't stop, so I decided not to bother. But genuinely, through eating a carnivore diet, I can say, a hand in my heart, I've not had any periods where my stomach's been bad being on a strict carnivore diet, which is something that I could never imagine I'd be saying more than a year down the line. It's just remarkable to me, to be honest.
Yeah, that's amazing, and it just blows that argument out the water of where, you know, people say it's extreme. You know, it's an extreme diet. Yeah. You know, what's extreme? You've just listed off all of those things about your life that you never thought you'd be able to do again. You never, you know, you couldn't even imagine doing them. And now you're doing them. You've got your life back. And what? You can't eat some plants. Like that, that's not extreme. That's getting your life back. And it's just a ridiculous argument that I find that people give, that it's extreme. I mean, you know, I imagine you've had criticism like that from people. How do you kind of answer them back with that?
So yeah, I've had some pushback, definitely. I've had people that tell me that, you know, the secret is to eating a balanced diet, you know. Had the Blue Zones chat and vegans live longer. And what I say to them consistently was, if I was to continue eating the way that I was, I would be sitting here with a bag just now with potential 2 foot in my bowel removed. Still on medication, still unwell. And here now eating a diet that's supposedly going to cause me all these ailments. I'm thriving. I've never been as healthy. So it makes me so skeptical of a lot of kind of what we're taught when it comes to nutrition through my own experience. But I can also see it through people who have seen me and they've took a bit of a notice to it and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, I've got friends that go, if you told me before you'd done this, what you're going to do, I'd have said, you're nuts. You're going to make yourself worse. You've got to give yourself all manner of issues. Don't do it. And now they themselves are stunned and they're becoming more sceptical. Or at the very least, what I've noticed is the people around me are eating a lot more meat. May not be completely carnivore, but the fear against meat is something that's not as prevalent. And even my own brother, he struggles with the idea of cutting out so much his diet. He's not got the best diet. But he himself knows. He's like, mate, this, if I want to be healthy, I need to do this, because he couldn't believe it. He was with me through it, seeing how bad it was, to the point where he was like, you know, I thought you were going to die. I thought something else was going on. And to see me eating some burger patties and, you know, chicken thighs on the weekends as a treat, he's like, that's worth giving up anything, you know. So I found that most people have been accept. I think it'd be harder for someone who hasn't had any issues, other than maybe, like, you know, it's hard to say. If someone just wants to do it for their health, people are going to be skeptical because they'll say, oh, look, this is vegan A, B, and C, who's also healthy. But I think you really get an idea of what's really healthy when you have two people with similar conditions and they've tried both sides of the spectrum, and it's clear that only one is working, and it's the one that the dietitians and the medical mainstream kind of narrative tells you will not work. The carnivore diet will make Crohn's worse. It will kill you before, you know, you finish the month. It's almost that extreme. And people are terrified to try the carnivore diet with Crohn's disease, IBS, IBD. I think people with IBS have even less to lose. They 100% need to try it. But people with IBD, especially, the medication doesn't work long term. That's why we need to keep on cycling. The medication makes us feel terrible, and it reduces our lifespan because the medication is very hard on the body. If you could, even if the carnivore diet makes me have a heart attack in my 60s, and this is what I'll say to the day I die, that is a better reality for me than to live how I was living on a cocktail of medications that would change all the time with different side effects, colonoscopies all the time because things weren't getting worse, and not being able to leave the house without a chauffeur there and a change of clothes. And I implore anybody with IBD to give it a try, because I've had so much contact with people who have Crohn's and IBD and even IBS, and I'm yet to find someone who has upped their protein, upped their fat through meat, animal sources, and reduced their plant foods who have had their condition get worse. I've not seen it. All I've seen is people who have felt better, who've continued it long term, who are able to reduce their medication and get their life back. And it's unbelievable that I see this every day. I'm contacted with people almost every day at this rate, tell me their message. It's fantastic, but at the same time, it's also very frustrating, because there's people who have got lifelong conditions like Crohn's disease who could have a really good standard of life if the medical kind of narrative would change and would tell people, you can do this.
Yeah, exactly. One of the clearest points of that really shows how much better it can be is that, according to the medical world, Crohn's is just a lifetime condition that will only get worse over time, you know, like type 2 diabetes and lots of other conditions. According to them, it's not reversible, yet we know it is. There's all tons of people out there like yourself and like others who've reversed it with diet, but then the people we're relying on for our health are telling us it can't be reversed. So you should really be questioning why you're going to trust them when that's their view of it. And medications are, especially when it comes to guts and our gut health, medications are one of the worst things, because they're just increasing our toxic overload and making things worse. So, you know, if there's another option to it, it's 100% worth trying. And talking on medications, I think, did you say you're now completely medication free as well?
Yeah. So I've not been on any medications at all for a year now. So during my time starting carnivore, when I was going to go into the pea protein diet, I was just getting infusions. So we're going to get me the bag because things were so bad. I'd already been on immunosuppressants and steroids. So I had two infusions after I was in carnivore because I was just within that period. After that, I stopped. So as of last month, I've been a year now medication free, which is the first time since I've been 12 years old. So we're talking 16 years, mate, that that's happened. And it's one thing that I've noticed from being medication free, especially, I don't know if anybody else feels, I sleep better. I don't know whether the medications affected my sleep, but weird. I used to get a lot of nausea, especially in the morning, almost like an acid reflux type. So I was on omeprazole as well to combat that because the medications were messing up my gut. And Crohn's as well can mess up your gut, obviously. I don't have acid reflux at all. Like, it doesn't exist. I couldn't even remember what it feels like, to be honest. And I just find that just generally, when you're on a lot of medication, it's not that you've got severe brain fog. You just feel like you're just not 100% there. Like, you've woke up, you've went for a sleep in the afternoon, you've woke up and you're like, oh, come on. Shouldn't have went for that sleep, but you've came to a wee bit. That's what I felt like all the time. Struggle to retain information like I would have prior because you don't feel well, you're on medication, you're run down. And the biggest difference for me now is the fact that I've got a clear headspace, I'm motivated, and just, you know, it's been remarkable. The physical things have been great, you know, but when you have issues with your stomach from the age of 12, you can kind of get used to going to the toilet so much. It's debilitating, it's terrible, but what's also worse is when you're in your own house, you've got a bad stomach, but your brain's also kind of not working too well, you're down in the dumps. For me, the mental clarity that's gave me and how I feel in the head has been a bigger gift than how I felt down there because it's allowed me to appreciate the difference in my health and it's allowed me to kind of really think about it, you know, in depth because it could be easy to come and, you know, the vegan diet's this and the vegan diet's that, you know, and be quite annoyed at the fact that I'd looked into so much propaganda and it became worse. But what it's actually made me do is I respect the people who are vegan who try for their Crohn's because they're making an intentional decision about their health and about what they eat. And I can completely understand why they're so reluctant to admit they were wrong and try something that's the polar opposite because it's a terrifying thing. And we've all got an ego. As much as we try not to have it, we all have a bit of an ego, you know, is what it is. And I know exactly what it feels like. Not only are you worried to admit to yourself you were wrong, the feedback of the people around you and stuff. And I think there's a lot of vegans out there who are a lot closer with IBD to making this switch than many people realise. And I think one of the only things that's keeping them there is the potential backlash of the community. And I think that's why it's so important as well to promote the carnivore community like so many like yourself do. It's an open space where we can have some honest discussions and it's not judgmental. We're not dogmatic, although everybody gets a bit dogmatic at times. You know, that I think that's important, that trying to keep this, you know, community the polar opposite to what it is, because that atmosphere in that community is keeping people from leaving and trying this because they're worried about the feedback and potentially keeping people from healing. So it's a shame, but, you know, going back to kind of having no medications, it's still, to me, it's unbelievable. You know, I still have my get the pill boxes with all the days of the week and stuff. It's, you know, the stuff that my granddad, who's 94, has. I had the same, and it's just it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. See, going on holiday and not having to take medication. Yeah. See, going away for a night, not having to do that. See, you know, going to the chemist. Like a lot of people, like if they're not for the UK, they don't realise how difficult going to the chemist can be. You're in there for about 20 minutes. So the pharmacist is on his lunch when you go. Yeah. That's what it's like. So not having to do that, going to the pharmacy, not having to kind of take medication just in general, it's such a reward. But the best thing is the mental clarity, the generally just positive kind of feeling that I feel the majority of the time, and just a freedom from the worries that I had. It's been such a gift.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's brilliant. And like you said, it's even just the awkwardness of having to take your medication everywhere and get it, you know, that's a brilliant benefit. And as you say, the health benefits, obviously, first you have to improve your health to get off medication, but getting off medication will improve it further. Like I said, there's, you know, I haven't got time to go deep into it on here, but gut health is something I'm really big on, especially with clients. And medication is one of the biggest killers of our gut health. So getting off that is amazing for you. And so I know, obviously, you know, you've looked into stuff and you began to relearn stuff and look into science. And obviously there's one thing that with your condition, I definitely need to talk to you about. And I'm sure lots of people have brought it up to you is, you know, how are you going to survive without fiber? What do you say to people when they bring that up?
Well, fiber is that's one they get annoyed at, actually. Mm. I think they defend that to the death. Well, what my experience with fiber is, well, during my time with as a vegan, I went through periods, I had a lot of loose stool, and then in between I'd get really bad constipation, and I mean terrible constipation. I was prescribed fiber by the doctors. I took psyllium husk fiber as well. I was double dosing the fiber at one point. It was that bad, and I almost had an impacted colon. It was terrible. My constipation was terrible. That was one of the things I was most skeptical about when going carnivore as well. Personally, I'll be honest, I thought, how am I going to do the toilet without fiber? To the point I supplemented extra fiber when you know I struggled, because I believe so much that fiber was important. What I will say, one thing's for sure, fiber is not needed at all. I found that fiber has not only been one of the biggest things that made my stomach bad, it's clear as day that when I tried to add it in, when I did a wee bit of experimentation afterwards, that I just cannot process any fibre whatsoever. It's an impossibility. It makes me ill. When I have discussions with people in regards to fibre, most people don't actually understand why fibre is healthy. They just say a phrase. I was like, why is fibre needed? You need to go to the toilet so much. Why? You know? People don't know. They're just saying phrase words that they've heard. I remember when I was whole food plant-based, one of the main YouTube channels that I used to watch was a guy called Dr. Klaper or Klaper, K-L-A-P-E-R. Guy's very intelligent in what he does. He's a doctor generally, but he made a big emphasis on fibre. And he says, vegans who are healthy, whole food plant-based vegans who go to the toilet 8-9 times a day, that means your body's working correctly. It's, you know, that was the big thing he would say. 8-9 times a day is healthy, you know. And this is something they speak about in a discourse. They bring up how, you know, chimpanzees, gorillas, they go to the toilet so many times a day. And this is the stuff that they bring up. And I believe in it hook, line and sinker. What I'll tell anybody who believes that fibre is necessary, try without it, especially if you're constipated. I know it's going to go against everything you believe. Try without it for a week. Make sure you're drinking more water, eating a bit more fat. And I can 100% guarantee you that you're going to see not only a massive benefit to your gut health, you're going to start having normal stools and you're going to have normal gut motility if you consistently do that. But obviously you're interested in gut health as well. I take it when you mentioned fiber, you've had similar kind of negative feedback, yeah?
Yeah. It's one of those funny ones. Like you said, everyone believes you need fiber, but like you said, if you ask them, no one really knows why you need fiber. You know, it's our digestive system is a one-way system. You know, we don't need fiber to push stuff out. You know, what goes in is coming out. You know, and sometimes they even describe it as, you know, you need some roughage. Why do you want roughage? And do you know how sensitive our bowels are inside? Like, why would we want roughage in there? Something we can't even break down. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I just find that's a funny one. I thought, especially, you know, with bowel issues, you know, I thought that you would have definitely had some people bringing that up and some pushback on it. And, you know, it's crazy how obsessed everyone is with fiber. And I even hear some people who are kind of, they're not vegan, but, and they're kind of, they've gone against the societal norms in terms of understanding health, but yet they still think fiber is this big, important thing. So they're eating animal products and some plants, whole foods, and they still think fiber is this big thing. I'm like, like you said, fiber is not necessary. Look, if someone feels that their body processes fiber okay and it doesn't harm them in their diet, fine, you can have it, but it's not necessary. And for lots of people, especially anyone with damaged guts and bowels, it's going to cause you problems. It's going to cause you issues. If someone's completely healthy, your gut's completely healthy, you might be able to process a little bit of fiber without side effects. But for a lot of people, it just won't. It will cause you issues like you did. And so, that's one I like to just bring up with you as you've been there and had the experience, because it's still something people struggle with.
Well, fibre's it's a funny one. It's people are passionate fibre advocates, it seems. but even diverticulitis, it's effectively at that point, it's the bills, it's given up, you know. And people think with diverticulitis, give these people fibre. It's the worst thing you can do. These people are. Yeah. They can't process anything extra, never mind roughage. And just the way they describe fibre as well, it doesn't, when you take a second and you step back and you think about it, you go, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And there would be a massive problem for the humans during the Ice Age if we needed some fibre, because that's some constipated people there. You know, they've struggled. But no, the fibre thing's remarkable. It's one of the things people are more dogmatic about. And like you said, I see the similar pages where they are health-based, talking about the importance of protein. Maybe some are even raw milk advocates, but they'll also tell you need your servings of fibre a day, which they've got part of the truth. I think we're all in a kind of a journey, but
yeah,
like you said, a lot of people are going to benefit from cutting out fibre, and I think the narrative is really starting to change around fibre, especially from the circles that we see. And it's a good thing that narrative's changed with protein. More and more people are eating more meat-based products online and posting about it. And I really do think over the next couple of years, you're going to see a reduction in the fibre. You're going to see a big move towards people eating an animal-based or an ancestral diet, however you want to call it, where it's either carnivore or, for some people, if they're able to, maybe some fruit, regardless of what they want to do. Because it's on fire at the minute. The amount of people who are having success. And what's remarkable is how many failure stories have you been exposed to? I've seen it all the time as a vegan, and I would see posts and upon posts of people defending it and saying, this is why this didn't work in A, B, and C. But within the carnivore space, there's a couple of things that people might get wrong. Maybe not electrolyte supplementation correctly, because maybe they've not done it before. Maybe not eating a bit too much fat, which you can adjust. Or for whatever reason, people maybe eat a wee bit too much organ meat, you know. Other than that, and it's human error, people aren't failing, people aren't having chronic conditions getting worse. I'm yet to see someone with diabetes getting their diabetes worse than a carnivore diet. It's a protocol that's seemingly fitting so many different issues. It's helping people almost to a reset point in their health. What people want to do after that is up to them, but I think anybody who's got some health issues, if you want a reset point, 6 to 12 months carnivore, strict carnivore, is the best reset point I could ever give someone. I think it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reason that it won't stop growing is because, like you said, it works.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop growing, because if you try something, even if you think it's crazy, and to be honest, most of the people like yourself, most people don't start carnivore thinking it's going to work. You know, people talk about placebo and this and that. Most people do not start it thinking it's going to work. They start it out of desperation, thinking this will never work, but I'll try it, and it works. And then they tell the next person. So even though they're fighting against it and they're trying to shut it down, it's going to keep growing because it works. And like you said, there's some nuance to it. And as you said, most of the people I see getting any kind of issues with it, and again, it's not serious health issues, but they don't feel as good. Most of them are overdoing the organ meat, like you said. That's the main one, going way overboard on that. You know, that there's always things like that, but the majority of people, as you said, amazing health improvements, which they're not getting with anything else.
It's not even like it's
on par with medical. It's way past what medical system can do, way past. And so, like you said, you know, I encourage people to try it, and obviously, you know, Connor has been there himself and tried it, and can tell you, you know, to try it. So, you know, absolutely, I think I don't want to take up too much of your time, we've had quite a bit, but just, you know, what's the message you'd like to leave people with, from your personal story, and what you'd like people to take away into theirs?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of power in trying to take control of your own health. I think that we sometimes are expected to feel that we're powerless. We need to rely on the medical professionals and what you see online for your own health. What I would want to kind of say to anybody who's got IBD, IBS, any gastro-related issues, you yourself deserve the chance to feel this good. You yourself shouldn't be on medication if it can be avoided for the rest of your life. and you are worth trying this. I understand how skeptical you may be. I was the exact same. I thought everybody in the carnivore space was a lunatic, I'll be honest. But this could be the single greatest kind of decision you ever make from a health standpoint. And the worst thing that will happen from the end of this is you give something a try, because you're already in a path where you're taking medication and in pain, and it may not work. What I can say from my own personal experience and the hundreds of people that I've spoken to and been in contact with over the last year, the likelihood of this working is extremely high if you do this correctly. And I believe that once you try this, you're not only going to have a better standard of life, you're going to be able to share this with people around you who are suffering the same and give them the opportunity to have a better standard of life. Because again, we're all worth feeling good, mate. End of the day, we've got one chance on this earth. Let's try to be as healthy as we can be, and let's try to take control of our own health. That's what I would say.
Yeah, brilliant. I think that's a powerful message. And I think it's powerful coming from someone like yourself who's been there and you've been through it and done it. And you were skeptical and you were desperate, yeah, and you tried it and, you know, it worked. And I say, I can back up, same as you said, being in this space, everyone I've spoke to, all of the clients I've worked with, people I've in my life that I've helped, not had anyone not get good results and not respond well, not seen a single one. So I can absolutely back that up. I think the overarching message from today is give it a try, and that don't ever think that it's too far gone. And as you said, we deserve to be healthy, and you deserve to be happy, healthy, and taking control of your health makes you feel good. It's really empowering, and I encourage everyone to do it, definitely. So Connor, thank you so much for giving us your time today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for coming on. Hopefully you've enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic, mate. You're an absolute gentleman. I love what you do, mate, so please keep up, and I'll watch the others. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome to have the support. That's brilliant. Thank you. Before you go, though, tell us where we can find you online for people who want to follow your story and see what you do. Give a shout out.
No worries. So predominantly, I use X, formerly Twitter. You can get me at Crohn's Carnivore. You should see me there. I'll be there with a red face and a red belt with my wife in the picture. I post on Twitter as well. It's Carnivore on Instagram, sorry. It's Carnivore for Crohn's, although I'm not as active on there. And I also kind of have some discussions, like Ryan, with people on my X. So if you like a chat about kind of nutrition, exercise, and just general chats about wellness, you might like that there as well.
Awesome. I'll share all the links in the podcast description anyway, so everyone can easily find you, give you a follow, check it out. And thank you so much for being here again today. Thank you, everyone else, for listening. We'll see you again next week, and let's get optimal together.